Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network each Friday. We do a little segment we like to call Ask Maggie, where my senior producer, Jamie, has carefully curated all of your questions for me, which you can submit any which way you'd like, phone, text, but you can almost be guaranteed that Jamie will get eyes on your question if you send it to askmaggie@civicmedia.us. That email address, again, is askmaggie@civicmedia.us. I have a lot of fun with it. We hope you all do, too. And, of course, the bit here is, as you know, if you've been listening for a little while, I like to talk. I can carry on a little bit, get myself, you know, all lathered up. Yeah, in a little bit of a tizzy, hair on fire, pick your tortured metaphor. And in this segment, I only have 30 or 60 seconds, somewhat arbitrarily decided by no one that is named Maggie, but everybody who is named both Cal and Jamie. So it's a lot of fun. So you can join us this afternoon, 855-752-4842. If you've got a longer question, something that needs a little bit more explanation, or you just want to email it in, again, that's askmaggie@civicmedia.us. With that, I will hand it over to my most fabulous senior producer, Jamie. Welcome back. You've been traveling this week. You were in Vegas.
I have.
My goodness.
So glad to be home.
You survived. Yes.
It's so glad to be home, I have to say. You know, there's nothing like actually landing at the airport. And let me tell you, we had some fabulous pilots. It was a rough landing coming back into the Milwaukee airport. So I was glad to be off the plane back in Wisconsin. And I'm actually mobile again today. So the puppy's having some minor surgery. So I'm actually in one of our wonderful Civic studios in Baraboo.
Hello to everyone in Baraboo.
Today. Right. They're gracious enough to allow me a little space today. So I'm glad to be here for sure. They get some new digs here too. So it's kind of fun.
I've been hearing, buzz about some new improvements in Baraboo.
Yes. There's some good stuff happening here, as there is across the entire Civic Network, which we're always glad to talk about. But we have some really, really great questions for you today. There's a little mix of some fun stuff, some more serious stuff. So I'm going to start out with one serious question, okay? And this actually comes to us from Gordon in Madison. He actually emailed this to us. And he wants to know more about what the local government is doing, not just what they're talking about, but what they're actually doing right now. He wants to know from you, are they passing local laws to make Wisconsin a place where people, especially the traditionally underserved populations, including the Native Americans, English as a second language families, the working poor, the homeless, etc., feel safe, respected, and welcomed? And this is kind of one of those questions. It's going to be a little encompassing. So Cal, we're going to give her 60 seconds for this one. So Maggie, what are we doing on a local level to make sure that everybody feels welcome and safe? Go.
Well, I'm going to speak predominantly to what is going on in the city of Milwaukee and Milwaukee County. And I think you can take these initiatives and things and think about them and then reach out to your local governments and ask them what they're doing along similar lines. The first thing is, in Milwaukee County, we have created data dashboards on almost every measure that is included in social determinants of health. So educational access, healthcare access, food deserts, the whole nine yards, including very clear metrics on, for example, if people start testing positive for measles, we put that out on one of our data dashboards. We had one for COVID infection rates and hospitalizations. Why is this important when it comes to underserved communities? Because if we don't know what's going on in our underserved communities and we're not actually collecting any data that shows us where people in our communities are hurting, we can't address those problems. This is one of those themes that you'll hear me talk quite, and I apologize for going over, but it's broader than the question.
You should on this one.
Yeah. This is one of those issues that I, as a data scientist, as an economist, as a lawyer, as someone who worked in local government, has advised state government officials, who worked for a federal court judge, who has done, again, data analysis my entire life. Unless we've got good data about things, then everybody's just BSing. And so there has been in the past, and I think you know, this is the political side of this is Donald Trump is literally trying to dismantle some of the data collection and publication that American citizens and data scientists and academics and researchers have relied on for a long time. So everybody should be calling their state and local governments, and I don't care who you voted for. If we believe in local governments, right, if even if you're a conservative, hey, less federal government, more local government, hey, what data are you collecting? How do I get a hold of it? Do you have data dashboards? Where can I see where that's collected? Are you thinking about collecting new and different types of data, given that perhaps the federal government won't be collecting as much data? And can we do this? This is one of the things that's always kind of gotten under my skin, is Donald Trump and a lot of folks right now will say, well, we don't want to know what the impacts on Black and brown people or English as a second language people or Native Americans, First Nation people are, because that means that America is fundamentally rotten. No, it's just what's happening. Like, if there is a disparate impact on different communities, why should we not know about that? So when people talk about systemic problems, what we mean is that despite laws that on their surface guarantee that we're treated equally or should be treated equally, why are we continuing to see different outcomes for different groups of people? And we can deal with those facts, with that reality, because when these traditionally underserved or underrepresented communities do better, guess what? White conservative people do better too. We all, working people, do better. It's very much a high tide raising all ships. And I've always been an advocate of, let's address the fundamental realities. Let's talk about the things that government can and should be doing to make it better for everyone. And to do that, we have to know how policies are differently affecting different groups, right? Because usually things aren't perfectly equal in result. Like, we can all say, like, yes, we want laws to be equal and people to be treated equal. But does that mean we don't look at whether or not the results are turning out to be equitable, equal, that people actually are experiencing the benefits of our laws that should be treating everybody equally? So long, this is me going on. I told everybody the bit was I'd answer in 60 seconds and then I don't. Sorry, Jamie.
And it's okay, because part of this bit is also to have some really great engaging conversation. And, you know, that sparks from our listeners. So thank you for that question.
And thanks,
because
Gordon.
It is really important. Yeah. And, you know, and we talk about that on the show all the time, that a lot of the things that you are going to see that make the biggest difference in your community or in your life are going to be on that local level. So yes, don't be afraid to call offices. Don't be afraid to attend the meetings and, you know, write those op-eds and whatever you need to do to make sure that your voice is being heard. So we appreciate the question very much.
I truly believe that if everybody that was listening went to a few Common Council meetings or hearings, mm-hmm, state or local government, or attended a JFC budget hearing and told their elected officials very plainly what they wanted to see, the results that they want to see, not, yep, forget like what the national political fight is on some of those, but the results that you want to see, right? Like, if it's Medicaid, I want to see more efficient Medicaid, but I don't want to see it cut. Say that. Say, I want to, yep, know what our county or city is doing to prevent lead poisoning in our public schools for our kids. What are you doing about that? Like, those are the questions.
Yep.
And when elected officials hear enough of that from enough people, they pay attention to it. And in fact, Jamie, I'll just say this. This is a very true and real phenomena. Elected officials will never hear, generally speaking, they will never receive via email or phone call a statistically significant sample size to draw statistically valid conclusions, right, about what their constituents say. By this, I mean to say, as a data scientist, they're not getting a statistically rigorous data sample.
Right.
What they do know is my phones got blown up on this issue or that issue. And elected officials, if you are part of the tails of the bell curve, if you are part of the group that hammers an elected official about X, Y, or Z thing, I can't guarantee you're going to get listened to, but at least there's a chance. If you say, oftentimes elected officials will do not what the majority of their constituents want, but what the loudest minority group is saying to them. And that I find to be more true in local government sometimes, because interest groups can be extremely well organized and focused. So don't let the opportunity go by. You will have a greater impact on your day-to-day life through your local government than anything else. Sorry, again, going on.
No, that's why being a participant in things like the most minute vote, even if you don't think it's worth it, that's why it's important, especially when it's on that local level. Because these aren't just people you're going to church with or going to your kids' basketball games with. These are people who can really make a difference, right? And there's a little added pressure when you have to see that many people who voted for you sitting in the church on Sunday or sitting in the stand. So don't be afraid to make your voices heard.
Especially those no-show GOP congressman town halls. Like, show up for those. Those are good.
Those are just getting embarrassing for them, honestly. But that's besides the point. Oh, okay. So we've got another really great question here. Cal, how much time do we have?
Two minutes.
All right. So we're going to give you a minute on this one as well. Okay. Actually, we're going to go with an easier one because this one I was going to go with, it's going to involve
a little
bit
more thought.
We'll save
it for the other side.
Yes, exactly.
Give me an easy one.
This is a good one. And this actually came to us from our text line from Dave in New Berlin. And he wants to know, we're going to give her 30 seconds for this one, Cal. Stones or Beatles? He says he's not a fan of either, but wants to know who you prefer, Maggie, and why. And go.
Stones or Beatles? Dave from New Berlin. If I'm forced to choose between the Stones or the Beatles, it kind of depends on like which era of the Stones or the Beatles, right? Like if I'm going to go with Stones. If those are my only two options, I like a little bit of the like in-your-face rabble-rouser attitude, you know, the disruptor of the thing, and it's more of the Stones.
Yeah.
I think.
I will say this. Mick Jagger has never had rhythm, and Ringo only had like three drums. So that's what I get out of both groups.
I also have to say this. I never had the blessing of seeing the Beatles live. Yeah. I've seen the Stones twice, and I was very impressed by their live music shows. I mean, how old is Mick Jagger? And he was out there like doing the whole thing, got the lip going and the hips. Man weighs about like 140 pounds. Skinny Malink. Listen, we're going to come right back after these brief messages. You'll hear more from Jamie and I for the second half of our segment called Ask Maggie. Remember, you can participate. Just email askmaggie@civicmedia.us. Keep it locked. We'll be right back here on the Civic Media Radio Network.